jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Let's get crazy. Let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 18 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus and I'm joined back fresh from his holiday by FB Donkey. Welcome back, mate.
Thanks for having me back, mate. I actually have a bit of a suntan, feeling pretty happy. Been swimming in the ocean for a couple of weeks and not that keen to be back in the cold. I've got to admit, I didn't watch a lot of footy while I was away. We actually, a few places had very, very little reception and that cost me a little bit with my rankings. But I heard that Moosey and Bryce and Dunny did a pretty good job covering for me while I was away.
Absolutely. They did a fantastic job. We got great feedback about their appearances on the show. Very good debuts by both those gents, but I'm sure the community are very happy to hear your voice again, mate, and get some advice. This week's actually a pretty big week in terms of injuries.
Moosey did make a call about Goldstein that I was sitting at the gym listening to the podcast and I almost screamed out. I made a bit of a noise and people were looking at me. It was a pretty sick burn, a bit hard to deal with. But you do realize, so that the best news of while I was away, Marcus, and I know I did hit you up on Twitter about this, is I traded in Pendles. Yeah. I purely did it because you traded him out.
God damn it.
He pulled out a 160. So he went a lot quieter on the weekend. I think he only got 74, which that's still 120 over the last couple of weeks, but a 160 from Pendles. And listeners will be happy to know, Goldstein's been killing it lately, but there'll be no Goldstein rant. I traded Cruiser back to Goldstein. I know that takes a lot of guts to do something like that and maybe a lot of stupidity.
Of course.
I did it. So I am sorry, listeners, but at the moment there'll be no Goldstein rant because he's been killing it since I brought him back.
Oh, man. I thought maybe I'd get away with you forgetting about that stuff as you came back onto the show, but you've remembered clearly. Why don't you let us know, catch us up on how you went over the last few rounds, mate. Where are you sitting rank-wise these days?
Not great. I sort of been bouncing around 1,500 to 2,000. A couple of weeks ago, I ended up with Fife as captain when he got injured. That cost me a lot and put me down, and then I got back up and then made a mistake on the weekend. I had Heaney on the bench and Higgins on field, and Heaney didn't have the E on him. So that was just left over from the week before, and just with the travel times and stuff, just totally missed that one. So I guess we're all allowed to do that once a year, but it did cost me about 80 points and a fair chunk in the rankings. So yeah, sitting about the 2,100 mark, mate. And realistically, the reason why I did that was just I wanted to give you at least a little bit of a chance on the run home.
Oh, righto. What did you score on the weekend, mate?
23.56, which is awful.
Yes, I can happily say I think I would have beat you regardless. 24.94 for me, and I'm definitely happy that, well, not happy, but secretly smiling that you missed out on 80 points there because I did need a bit of a leg up. I'm still 300 points behind, but I'll take that.
As Faz would say, we need to look up the meaning of the word secret.
4645 is my rank. I'm finally in the top 5,000 for the first time this year and smiling ear to ear. I was on track for an absolutely monster one and then Robbie Gray scoring 37 and Michael Walters scoring 64 in the last game of the round was a little bit painful. Otherwise, was heading for a killer score, but still, I'll take being in the top 5,000 for the first time all season. And I know you're used to sitting up in the top 5,000 for quite a few weeks now, Mark, but I'm just happy to crack back in there.
I don't think you've ever been outside the top 5,000 at this time of the year, like in the entire time we've been recording this podcast.
Absolutely.
10 years.
I'll take that. All right, in terms of a quick group update, Mark, Mark's Tankosaurus is still sitting at fifth. I want to give a shout out to Nix, the numbers man. He's moved from 14th to 10th after making big moves to move himself in the top 20 last week. Nick scored 2,500 and he's now only like 60 points behind first or 80 points behind first. So he's been making huge moves. I think caught up 400 points to first over the last couple of weeks and very much in it with a shot to win it. So we will wish Nick plenty of luck as well on the run home.
It's quite interesting. You've got about 30 teams within 500 points of the leader and there'll be some years where there might only be two or three teams within 500 points of the leader at this point. So pretty wide open and a lot could happen in that top 30 in the run home.
I mean, with six rounds to go, you'd say that even 500 points out, you're still a chance to maybe claw that back with a bit of luck.
So it's hard to do it against 30 teams, but you could claw back 500 against one team. It's just hard, like with so many common players across the teams, to actually have 500 unique points against 30 teams.
That's true.
But normally 500 points of the winner at this stage would be well within striking distance.
In terms of a league update, we have six of the top 10 at the moment, which is great. And we're still closing down on the number one league, closed down another 350 points. So I think we've closed something like 1,800 points over the last four rounds. With six rounds to go, we are 1,000 points off regaining that number one league mantle. So in our chase for back-to-back league premierships, Mark, we are right in it and sort of chasing like Nick is, hot on the tail of Supercoach scores at the moment.
Yeah, no, I did let the team down on the weekend, so I'll try not to do that again.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thank you. We would have taken the additional 80 points there. All right, let's get to some questions, Mark. The majority of the questions this week are focused around injuries. It was a little bit of bad luck from a fantasy perspective across the weekend. We had Nick Nat going down, Cruiser going down. Today it was revealed that Sicily will be out for the next 6 weeks with a broken wrist.
Painful.
We've got Robbie Gray, who was unfortunately concussed and might miss again this week. Yeah. And we've got Josh Kennedy as well with back spasms and also a chance to miss this week. So quite a lot of carnage for six rounds to go, and with a lot of people down to four or less trades. And with that in mind, let's kick off the injury talk with Nick Nat. He's the one that's out for the entire year, Mark. And not as many options in the rucks as there are in other positions. So you're almost making a decision between, you know, getting the highest scoring but expensive options in. And after that, your options really fall off a cliff. So we'll start with Tony Garmer's question from Facebook. He's got three trades left, and he's wondering whether or not to use two trades to go for a Grundy, Martin, Goldstein type, or one and trade to, you know, a compromised option in Source or Wits. He's even listed Cruiser here, but he's under a bit of a cloud. What are your thoughts about that, mate?
Realistically, with three trades left, you would be very much leaning towards not using two to do an upgrade here. I guess like there's some chance that if you brought in the right player, you could actually get some bench coverage extra with that. Like if you brought in a rookie for a non-playing rookie at the moment or something, maybe with four you might do it. But I think even then with six rounds to go, you're stretching it a fair bit. Nank at 489 seems pretty good. Even Bell Chambers at 475, so only looking at six more, is okay. He's been averaging pretty well recently. Ryder got injured on the weekend, so he's not an option. I think I'd have it in the close to him range. I'd have it as Nank, Bell Chambers, Jacobs, which is how they're priced. It's pretty hard to bring in anyone lower than that. I guess Wits is probably the one that you'd end up going, just because I know his scoring isn't great, but he has had some bigger games this year and fairly cheap. So look, they're all tolerable options that have had reasonable durability over the course of the season. It'd be really hard to justify with four or less trades making two to upgrade even to Grundy.
Yeah, I think probably five trades would be the amount you'd want to have before you consider a double trade. So it'll leave you with three trades left. That'd be fair, Mark?
Yeah, I think so. But like even then, if your goal is leagues, I know a lot of really good league coaches will try and hold on to four trades for the league finals if they can, because it can make a really, really big difference at the end of the season. And if so, even there, going down to three with six to go a couple of weeks before finals, close call. But yeah, with five and with Grundy dominating so much, all those other rucks so far ahead, like they might be 20 or 30 points ahead, I guess justifying two trades is just about worth it.
Comparing the top options, Mark, Grundy, Goldstein, Martin. Grundy seems like, you know, the obvious pick. He's been, you know, the standout ruck together of Gorner for the season. Would Goldstein be potentially challenging that at the moment? He's averaging really well, like the last five rounds, averaging 122, which is pretty much on
par. How much over the last five rounds?
122. Grundy's done 120, which that really pains me to say. The only consolation I have is that you traded Goldstein out to Cruiser and then back to Goldstein, so at least it cost you two trades, but
actually don't remember doing that. I do remember the fact that Goldstein is averaging quite well over the last couple of weeks and scoring and doing really well, and seems to be back to the gold standard of all. Like he hasn't posted a huge score in that time. It's not that he's averaging 122 because he's posted like a massive score. He's actually gone over 100 every single week since the first time I traded him out, after not doing it for the 6 or 7 weeks previously. So, and just putting in 120, 130 every week. So, yeah, look, I do think that Goldstein is challenging him. I think it would be very, very difficult to overlook Grundy if you had the money, though.
Especially because Goldstein's price has appreciated a fair bit. He's up at 570 now. So you don't save a heap of money. It is 50K, but you don't save a heap passing on Grundy. Having said that, if you can achieve Goldstein in one hit, there's very much no point, you know, shelling out the additional money to go to Grundy with Goldstein in such fine form. Is Martin sort of in the same consideration set at all? He's averaged 108 for the season, so trending ahead of Goldstein. But of course, you know, with Goldstein being so strong in the second half of the year, Steph has certainly fallen back a little bit.
He's actually had a really, really strong season. He's just had three down games, and his down games have been pretty low. He's at a 63, 79, and a 68, and that's really, really affected his performance over the course of the year. And in the past, Steph has gone on runs, but has not been able to really hold it together for really extended periods, and he does have those low games. So that's why I think he's just that rung below the other two.
So Grundy 1, Goldstein 2, Martin 3 then.
And look, I've got Goldstein. Let's make him number one just because he is pretty close to my favorite player in the AFL now.
Wow. How quickly things change.
A little bit behind Pendlebury.
God damn it. All right, let's move on to the next question. This one's from Nick, one of our patrons. And this is probably the other major injury discussion for the week, and that's Sicily, who only today was revealed that he's out for the next 6 weeks with that wrist injury. Nick has 5 trades left, so his question is whether or not to go with a double trade for Lloyd or a single trade to bring in a bloke who's a step below that. Mark, we had pretty much the exact same question last week, so I've given my thoughts on this fairly recently. Where do you stand on that?
I did not get the chance to listen to the podcast last week, so pretty keen to know what those thoughts were. I think it's actually a pretty easy decision. I'm guessing that maybe you said that it's just a one trade deal. Lloyd is in insane form. He's got a 5-round average of 120 as well, which is just sick for a defender. And he's playing a super, super lucrative role as well. And they're just getting the ball in his hands at all times. It's really hard to watch not having him. So if I had 100K sitting in the bank, I'd be very keen to bring in Lloyd for Sicily, but I don't. But I'm okay with that because there's actually a bunch of players around Sicily's price that I'd be pretty happy to bring in. So any of Crisp, Hearn, Brayshaw, Howe, or even Tom McDonald potentially, any of those 5 guys I'd be more than happy to bring into my team and sort of, I guess, back them against Lloyd from here. Crisp seems super consistent and durable. Hearn has turned it on for 18 months now, so he's got a really strong form line. Brayshaw he has looked unbelievable in the last 6 weeks, just keeps his disposal efficiency is holding him back a little bit. And Jeremy Howe's ceiling is actually really high if he could stay fit. So, yeah, I think that if the options were weaker, I'd be stronger about bringing in a Lloyd, like a bit like in the rucks. Like the options at the price of Nick Nat or Cruiser in the rucks are pretty average. They're not great. So you're more inclined to think about going up to that higher option. But the options around Sisdog, I'm actually reasonably happy with. Is that sort of the advice that you ended up giving, or is that where you're at?
Yeah, pretty close, mate. I think you don't want to torch too much to get Lloyd, but if you can go down to 3 trades and have Lloyd in, he's averaging, I think mentioned the stat last week, but over, you know, the course of 10 rounds or something, he's averaging 110 plus. So he's averaging like a primo midfielder available in the back line. Yeah. It does seem like he's playing a sustainable style of footy that's seeing him average a fair bit of Supercoach points. So wouldn't be too concerned about him dropping off. Do you have him in your team at the moment, Mark?
I do not. It has been painful.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'm guessing we both share the sentiments. Like it's scary watching the Sydney game each week and knowing that you're lining up without Lloyd.
Super scary because he's on 60 at quarter time every week. So
yeah,
it's like you know you're in pain for the rest of the game.
But yeah, I like the other options that you listed out there, Mark. I think last week I had it rated Crisp, then Brayshaw, then Hearn, then Howe.
Okay.
And I probably still stick to that this week. Do have a question for you about Hurley, though, Mark. Yeah. 100 last week, 120 following that. Thoughts on him? Has he returned to a bit more lucrative a role?
A bit hard to tell, really, because it's just sort of one game against the Suns. And I think he was really, really high in the first half. My memory says maybe 80 or so. And so the reason why he actually should have scored a lot higher, the reason why he didn't was because the ball just never went down there in the second half. So he just, the ball just wasn't in his territory. As the night got on a little bit as well, the ball gets a little bit slippery up at Matricon. So his ability to take the contested mark wasn't quite as strong, but he was in position to do so a number of times. The interesting thing that I've noticed with Hurley, because I've had him for a few weeks now, is that he seems to, in a lot of games, he's scored reasonably poorly for three quarters and then just pulled out an okay score by the end. So he's still scoring 90s, 80s, 100, which is sort of decent. So hasn't been playing quite as lucrative as he was early in the season, but still a lucrative enough role. He's not going to get 30 touches probably, but he just takes enough intercept marks to get a decent score. So I think he's in the conversation with those guys. He's also a cheaper price, which maybe gives you some flexibility with other things you might want to do. So given he is 30 to 50K cheaper than those guys, I would have him on at least the same level as Chris and Brayshaw.
Awesome. All right. Next question here from Mark Leonard, one of our patrons. He has just one trade left, which is really unfortunate. Wow. And he's got Sicily. So in the case where you've got Sicily, one trade left, and you've got cover, so Mark has cover in Murphy and Miocek, do you pull the trigger on your last trade or do you just swallow the rookie score?
It's actually, my personal perspective is that it's actually a really easy decision. And that is that, like, with 6 weeks to go, that last trade is to cover donuts.
Yeah.
So I've actually probably been a lot more conservative than some people, and I could get burnt from making this move, and it definitely could burn me, is that I've actually kept Fife. Injury seems to be dragging out. I was hoping it might be on the lower side, but because I had like really good cover, I didn't really see the benefit of bringing in a replacement and using one of my last three trades, because I just feel that the chances of being exposed to multi-week donuts is really high, and especially with one trade. So you cop another two injuries on the wrong line, or a bunch of rookies start getting dropped and you start copying a three-week multi-donuts. That's way worse than the situation you're in now. So as much as it sucks, you've got cover for a reason and just ride it out, I think.
I mean, even with two trades left, would you recommend the same thing with six rounds to go? Because I think I'd border on saying the exact same thing.
With six rounds to go, I guess it depends a little bit what your goals are. And I guess you knew the risk you were taking by going down to one or two trades. So you needed, or maybe you didn't, but you should have actually pre-planned this. Like you should have been like, okay, am I just covering donuts now that I'm down to two? Or am I willing to trade longer-term injuries to premiums? And it's a strategy. It's a philosophical difference. I know that people in the past have gone down to zero trades with four rounds to go and been okay. Like it can work out. You just, it's what level of risk are you willing to take? What do you think is the bigger risk? Multi-week donuts or that it's just sort of going to ride out okay. So yeah, that's requires a little bit of your own assessment on these things and your own strategy. I don't think there's a necessary right decision when it comes to two trades. I think with one trade, there is a right decision. With two, you get into more of a questionable personal strategy.
All right, next question is from at Bryce Mitchell. Of course, was on the show for the last couple of weeks. He's asking about Robbie Gray. He's a chance to miss this week if he doesn't come up with the concussion test. Now, Bryce has four trades and he has cover in Guelphy. So he's asking whether or not to hold Gray and just play Guelphy, upgrade Guelphy, or trade Gray out. Thoughts on how to deal with Gray if you have cover? I'd be pretty tempted to just hold in that scenario.
So is that four trades?
Four trades.
Four to five trades, I think you're getting closer to being able to trade. Like you can be sort of thinking you might use one a week and be okay with that. But Guelphy was kept for a reason, I think, and that's because he's been scoring reasonably, been pretty consistent, hasn't had like a really crap game yet. So yeah, I think it was kept for exactly this scenario, cover a one-week injury to one of your primos that you want to keep.
All right, next question is from Jeff Lane, one of our patrons, and he's in a scenario that's a little bit closer to myself, Mark. Jeff has Tim Smith and Josh Battle as forward cover, so if neither come back into the side this week, he'll be facing a donut. So in that scenario, what do you do with Gray then? Are you more incentivized to trade him out, or would you perhaps side swap a rookie or potentially just eat the donut? Thoughts about how to deal with a poor coverage situation like myself and Jeff?
So thanks for being a patron, Jeff. I appreciate the support. And I think that looking at the injury list, Josh Paddle is listed as available this week. And given how he performed, I reckon they'd want to get him straight back in. So Hopefully that works out for you and he kicks a couple of snags and you get to celebrate that. For you, Marcus, with that, what's that West Coast guy's name that you've got?
Brander. It makes it so bad that Sick Dog is out.
Yeah. So you've got Sicily in your forward line?
In my back
line.
Oh,
no. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, no. So this was like the exact week that you'd planned for.
Yeah.
And Gray.
Yeah, like it's so bad that Gray and Sicily go down in the same week. It could not be more unfortunate for myself.
Can the listeners hear me secretly smiling right now? yeah, wow, oh, that's really bad.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's a really tough situation. So I think that I hate to say it, but probably take the donut. I think that one of the hardest things to do in this game is actually take a donut. It's so counterintuitive to actually do. Most people that I know that do it, it's never as bad as it seems. And within a week, like you move on really quickly from it. So that would be my advice. That's for your team. If it was my team, would I be willing to actually cop the donut? Maybe not. Because like I said, it is really hard to do.
Yeah, I think like don't you back like with four trades. You can use one trade. You still have three trades for, you know, after this round, there's only 5 weeks of trading left. That's more than enough. And you back whoever you bring in to match Gray so you get the 100 extra points from being able to cover his injury.
So I guess that the situation, the reason why the situation is a little bit different, and I guess I was focusing on your one maybe a little bit, is that I'm assuming that you're either trading Sicily or Nick Nat. So you're actually already going down to three. So then it becomes going down to two with six to go?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Which is a different scenario.
So what I'm honestly thinking about, and this might not be open to everyone, like if you're dealing with Smith and Battle, and let's say Battle doesn't come back, you might not have this flexibility. But I'm thinking just cover Sicily with – trade Sicily to McDonald, pivot McDonald to Brander's spot, and run Miocek as cover in the back line for the week. And then I retain my def forward flip.
Okay. Yeah, look, I think that that there's a huge gamble in that, and that is around McDonald's injury and McDonald's form, just because like he's shown some massive games and he's been amazing, but the last few weeks he has struggled a little bit. So but you are getting some discount at his price, and if you're able to do that, that seems like a pretty good solution for your very specific situation.
How about if you were dealing with, you know, replace Battle with, you know, another forward that's just not getting games at the moment? Faced in that situation, are you recommending potentially just copping the donut there then?
It depends on how many trades you've got left.
Yeah.
Yes is the short answer.
Mm. The other thing to think about is, let's say you have Ahern trapped in your midfield, but you don't have the mid-forward link. Would you potentially think about trading, you know, a Tim Smith down to Brent Daniels? You get to play Ahern in your forward line, who's currently averaging, you know, 72.5. It's not too bad. And then reestablishing that link so that you can have cover moving forward. Because it's going to be an ongoing issue, right? Like if you deal with another short-term injury, you might have to cop another donut or commit to trading that premium out.
Yep. And then at what point do you like not do that anymore? I guess I don't know a lot about Brent Daniels. I don't know a lot about his job security. And I think it would be really dependent who the rest of your bench is. So are you really light on your forward bench, but also really light on your midfield bench? So my midfield and my forward bench are my stronger areas. So it's not really a concern for me. I'm happy to ride my bench scores.
Yeah, like you've mentioned already, Mark, I think it is fairly team specific. But my other option is, so I had three playing midfield bench options this week, and I had zero in the forward line. I could potentially take Smith down to Daniels, run Ahern in the forward line and have cover that way, and then also cash in on 100K. That could potentially allow me to do Sicily up to Jake Lloyd, for example, on the run home. So I don't think that that's a bad option either, particularly because with five rounds to go, running no forward line bench is going to be a continuing risk. And we did already talk about this on last week's show, like how do you deal with that when you don't have persistent cover? So I don't think it's an awful option if faced with a donut this week. But having said that, you know, swallowing a donut is a perfectly fine option too.
Yep, I agree with most of that. Just I don't want to make this I told you so, because I'm not talking about your team. I'm talking about some other random person's team. But this is where I actually made a really, really conscious effort this buy period, and I definitely didn't do it perfectly, but to not bring in crappy rookies over the buys and not be...
Yeah.
Because it's hurt me so much in the past doing that. Like, and I'm not saying that Brander is a crappy rookie or that I know anyone that made a move like that. But just for future reference, you might want to, just for the listeners, might want to avoid bringing in really, really risky rookies just to make your buy structure work.
Yeah, and I think, I don't mean to claim credit, but I actually think I was pushing that message more strongly during the buys than even you were, because I'd mentioned that I'd copped that a lot in previous seasons, but then I ended up trading in Brandon doing that anyway, and you took the advice.
Oh, wow. Did you actually do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep.
All right. Let's move to the next question. This one's from at CLO54. He's got JPK. I think this scenario is probably a little bit easier than Gray because most people have more cover for JPK. So assuming you have cover for JPK and he's out for potentially the extra week with back spasms.
Yeah. Listed as a test.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's a keep.
You would think that with three bench cover that you'd have at least one playing. Yeah, it's interesting this time of year. Like, you could play Higgins the previous week and he could score 90, or you could play Higgins this week and he scores 36 and it costs you a lot. Like, there's so much risk attached to playing your bench sometimes, and you really don't know what the outcome's going to be, because it can be 50 points different quite easily from exactly the same player week to week. So, there's a lot of risk involved, and you just hope to get lucky, I guess.
All right, next to a new segment, Mark, which I think if it goes well, I'm pretty keen to continue running and potentially for the rest of the season. And if we continue into next year, potentially next season as well. So I'm hoping it goes well.
Right. That you are really talking this up.
Yeah.
You are very confident that this is going to be the new segment of the podcast. We're going to be known for this.
It's called Overrated, Underrated. Basically, I think with Supercoach being such a flavor of the week game, where
what's the theme music?
I probably need to come up with a catchier intro song, like something like Caro's Arrow or something like that. But overrated, underrated, essentially we'll just list out a few players that are flavor of the week and get quick thoughts around the table about where they sit in that spectrum. So we've got the first player off the rank here, Mark, Jake Lloyd. Overrated or underrated?
Not overrated. His form has been sick. It's been Doherty-like. So rated.
Appropriately rated.
Appropriately rated. Is that an option? I've already ruined the segment. Yeah. There's only one move in. No. I don't know.
Yeah, no. It's you got three options. Over, under, or correctly rated. So, yeah, I'd agree with that, Mark. He has been talked up a lot, but that's for perfectly good reason. So I'd agree with that. How about Jack McRae returning from injury? A lot of people looking at him as a POD in with a few rounds to go, and most people having traded him out when he got injured across the buys. Overrated or underrated as a trade in, considering, he's not maintained 130 scoring for a season before.
I think that he's overrated, but I think that he's also an absolute gun and could be a serious, serious Supercoach player going forward. So bit contradictory there, but just at this very moment in time, a little bit overrated.
Yeah, I think I agree with that as well. If you're already looking at a midfield replacement, then sure, Jack McRae as a POD on the run home is good, but overrated in the sense that I wouldn't be manufacturing situations to try and bring in McRae. So some people are thinking about pushing Rocky out to the bench and trading McRae in instead and burning themselves down to two trades.
Whoa.
Yeah, so
geez, some people with... With Nicknack going down, I think it was like his ownership figures were still really, really high.
Mm.
And with Sicily going down, whose ownership figures amongst the top-ranked teams would be insanely high, people are going to be getting some pretty low on trades, because those guys are like pretty close to must-trade in most situations. So things should get interesting on the run home.
Yeah, especially because we already had five for McRae and we've had a few injuries fairly recently. So that's definitely a good call there.
Yeah.
How about Steph Martin, Mark? Overrated or underrated? So he's sort of the less talked about when we're talking about those primo options.
My memory for Supercoach is not perfect, but I do have a very strong memory of bringing him in the week that he played the Bombers last year, scored 150, made me feel like a genius, and then was out the next week. And I think I had a donut. So I could never overcome that. And so he is an overrated schmuck.
I actually think for the particular point in time, he's a little bit underrated. He has scored 140 twice in the last three rounds, and you're only needing him over a six-round patch. So even though he's spotty, the fact that you only need him for six rounds means that if you hit a hot run of Steph, you could conceivably match Goldie and Grunt. It's hard to pass on them, and that's why we talk about him less. But he is a
bit underrated.
Did Brisbane
win both of those games?
They've won three of the last four, so they could keep it up.
Yeah, I think they may be overrated.
Justin Westhoff, Mark, overrated, underrated. He's very controversial in Supercoach. People, some, you either love him or you hate him.
Definitely underrated.
Yeah.
He's an absolute champion. Been around for a really long time, doing some great things, has so versatile. Good Supercoach history this season. Yeah, he is definitely underrated.
I think, is he second highest averaging at the moment in the forwards? He is smashing it. I think he's only behind Sick Dogs, so agree with that.
Can I do a couple?
Yeah, yeah.
Devin Smith.
Overrated. I think a lot of people picked him, and so...
You're an idiot.
Look, I don't doubt his ability to contribute to an actual football game. I would love to have a player like that in my football team. And
almost went to the Cats.
thanks, mate. And as an Essendon fan, I can see why you're so enamored by him. But from a Supercoach point of view, the guy's averaging 94. So he's averaged like 4 points above his starting price point.
Yeah, he's averaging 95. You're an idiot. You can't even do maths.
For all the defensive stuff he doesn't score enough Supercoach points. Get more of the free kill.
He should get an extra 10 points every week. He is so far in front of Essendon's best and fairest. It's not even funny this year.
Yeah.
Okay, so going to go with two of my favorites. I think I know what your answer is to at least one of them. Petrarca scored 147 2 weeks ago. What a star.
I think appropriately rated, because I think everybody's has had the gloss come off Petrarca. Like, he's been in, you know, the villain section of our podcast every single week. And so, yeah, I'd have him appropriately rated. He went from 160 to 60, you know, in the space of 1 week. So he's not yet hit his straps as a consistent Supercoach player, unfortunately.
Two more. Jesse Hogan.
Ooh. Okay, I probably overrated him. Like, I think more broadly, probably appropriately rated. But I certainly got very excited by the amount of midfield time and the amount of disposals he was getting early in the season. So I probably overrated.
If he could kick straight 2 weeks ago, he would have done pretty well.
Where would you have him?
I have him. I think you're right, appropriately rated. I think that he just had a down patch in the middle of the season. He's still young. He's a key forward. Tom McDonald took a lot of his sparkle.
Hmm.
I've still got two more to go. I'll be quick though. The first one is Pendlebury.
Ooh.
Now, don't worry about that. I'm just trolling you. And the next one is this segment, overrated or underrated?
Underrated, if anything. Oh, that was fantastic. I liked it. What did you reckon, Mark? It's the segment I introduced. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to be biased.
No, that was fun. Yeah. I think you talked it up appropriately.
Thanks, Mark. I did hype it up, so that's good if it was appropriately hyped. All right. Before we finish up, just a quick run around the rookies. Don't want to spend too much time on it, but in the case where you're looking at doing a side swap to cover a donut or whatever, or downgrading to get some cash up if you save trades for leagues, there's only two options available in the back line that debuted on the weekend. There's nobody on the bubble. Alex Morgan for North, 124,000, scored 73. He was formerly an Essendon player, Mark, picked up in, I think, late in the second round, pick 29. Delisted, picked up by North, and is now playing over there. And then Colin O'Royden, he was a late in for Grundy, I believe, scored 85 on debut, 124,000. Job security seems sketch for both, but Morgan, you'd think, is ahead of O'Royden.
Have you actually heard anyone else say that last name?
I've never heard it. That's probably completely wrong. I'm probably butchering
it. No, so I haven't heard anyone else say it either, but I'm pretty sure you butchered the hell out of it. I would have thought it would be O'Riordan, but...
O'Riordan?
Okay.
That's good.
I know that doesn't read like that, but anyway, Alex Morgan, he was actually really highly rated at the Bombers, but just had so much injuries, just never really got it going. So he's pretty quick and world underscore 73 on debut against the Swans. You think you get another game for that? And O'Riordan?
No, I thought O'Riordan. You went O'Riordan. Come on.
I was just again trolling you, which seems to be my role in this show. That seems pretty good with 85. I know that was a brilliant game, but I've got to be honest, I was watching the World Series of Poker final table at that time and didn't get a lot of the game there. The Bombers, Jake Long, he's been a late in 2 weeks in a row. He's done all right. Got a bit of an easy ride against the Suns on the weekend, and for some reason, Francis was not brought in. And Brent Daniels, as I said, I've been away. I haven't actually seen him play either. So not a lot of use on those ones. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, he's a mid forward at least, Brent Daniel. So if you can use him with DPP with a Hearn, he might be an extra consideration. I'd be more tempted to bring in Daniels over Long, with Long being priced at 150,000 compared to Daniels at 117. All right, Mark, let's go to a captain's corner to wrap up the show. Who are you looking at this week? I saw you went with the VC on Mitchell last week, so that was very good.
God, didn't that look good at halftime? Didn't that look good at halftime? It was 110 at halftime.
Oh, look great at full-time still, mate, with 159.
It's all right. But considering there was other options like Cripps and Danger who scored around that, it wasn't a standout choice.
I went with Gorn as VC, so you got 30 points on me there. Who are you looking at this week, mate?
Depends a little bit on loophole options. So, unfortunately, I have my two non-playing rookies are both from St Kilda, and they keep having early games. So they got the Friday night game this week, so I can't do shit there. So what I'd really be relying on is Greater Miss, and I'm not sure what's going to happen there. Like, he could be named for Sunday and then be a laid out. That seems like a reasonably likely situation. So my other option would be Fife as my loophole player. So that doesn't leave me with a lot of choices. It leaves me with basically Goldstein or Pendlebury as the vice. And then with the Cats having basically no ruckman, I think I'd have to go Gorn, my captain choice.
The one good thing about Brander is on the run home, and I did pay attention to this, guys. West Coast, I think, play on Sunday, you know, pretty much every single game on the run home. So Brander opens up my loophole options a fair bit. I will probably go with Gorn, like you said, no ruck against Geelong, into Mitchell. But Mitchell as a VC against Carlton wouldn't be too bad an idea as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. He could go nuts.
That wraps up this week's show. Thanks very much for coming on, Mark. It's been good to have you back, and I think we'll have you
back.
Has
it really?
Yeah, it has been, despite the shtick you give me. It's good to have you back on deck, mate. I think we're going to try and get you on next week as well, and then you'll have another stint off until you come back for the grand final. So a couple shows more for you. Hopefully we can build out a little bit more of a stable of guests, and if you're willing to come on for a little bit more, we'll sneak you in on an extra one as well, mate.
Awesome.
Good luck for this week. Anything to leave our listeners with after 3 weeks off, mate?
Probably just be a little bit reserved with your trades, I think. And that's, I guess, I've been trying to put that message out over the course of the show, but as we've seen this week with Nick Nack and Sicily going down for a long time, it's still 6 weeks to go, and if you lose some premiums in the wrong area, things could get pretty dicey.
Thanks, mate. And with that, we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
Yeah.